Good morning. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church this morning. For this is an occasion to celebrate the life of Celine Brown, lovingly known to her friends and family as May. And it is a time to recall the promises of God which have been given to each of us. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." This is the promise of everlasting life, a promise that was made to Celine and to you and to me. Let us pray. Gracious God, your love for us never fails and is stronger even than death itself. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of morning sun. Help us this morning to receive your word with believing hearts. And in the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that upon hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted out of the darkness of our lives and into the light and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Know that the Lord who made us is God.
We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's court with praise.
Give thanks and bless God's name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
I invite Candace and Philippe Rochon to come and tell us a little bit about May's life. Philippe?
Born to Wilfred and Catherine Brown in 1931 in St. Anne's, Jamaica, Celine, or May as she became known, was the second eldest of their five children. As a young adult, May moved to the capital, Kingston, where she worked for many years as a seamstress. She gave birth to two daughters, Velta and Beverly. In 1978, May emigrated to the United States, moving to Queens, New York, near to her daughter, Velta. In 1991, she moved to Rochester, New York, to live with Velta's family, son-in-law Jean-Claude, and grandchildren Philippe and Omar. May enjoyed traveling and in recent years took several trips to her homeland of Jamaica and to visit her siblings in England and Baltimore, Maryland. She enjoyed spending the holidays with her children and grandchildren and loved attending church with them. May's hobbies included sewing and crochet work. She loved making dresses and creating clothes for her children and grandchildren when they were young. May was often seen doing her daily scripture reading, as the Bible was never too far from her. May enjoyed reading all things from magazines to biographies, doing her crossword puzzles, and playing bingo at Unity Health Day at the park and at St. Anne's home, where she resided at the time of her death. Grandma May spent countless hours watching after her grandchildren and other neighborhood kids when she moved to Rochester. She enjoyed cooking, and amongst many wonderful dishes was known for her delicious cornmeal porridge. May was a faithful disciple of Christ, worshiping and studying in many different congregations over the years, Anglican, Baptist, and Presbyterian. May was a longtime member of Gates Presbyterian Church. Most recently, she enjoyed attending services in the chapel at St. Anne's, worshiping there almost daily. May is survived by her loving family and many dear friends. And as a grandson, the grandmother and grandson share a strong bond. Oftentimes, words don't need to be spoken to express the concern and the love that they had for one another. My grandmother and I would often look at each other and just nod our head in approval or agreement without ever having to share words. In the last couple of days when I visited with her in the hospital, we would talk to her and just be by her side, and she would often open up her eyes and look at us and just nod her head, and that assured to me and my family that she was in a better place and that the Lord was taking care of her. Thank you.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Good morning. I'll be reading Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
And peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
Let us listen as I read from Acts. We set sail from Troasus and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Tartaria and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. And Scripture tells us that she listened eagerly to the Apostle Paul. No doubt, he told her about Jesus. Jesus, the same small baby whose birth we celebrated last week. The same man who died on the cross to prove to us that eternal life was indeed a reality. She listened eagerly to the sacred promises offered to her, to us, through Jesus Christ. Lydia listened eagerly. And then she was baptized in a river outside her hometown. Celine, May, received those same wonderful promises through her own baptism in a village in the hills of Jamaica many, many years ago. I love the story of Lydia. And as May's family shared stories with me of May's life, I found my mind racing to this biblical story. I confess, and you're probably wondering, that it's not a traditional funeral service scripture. But I decided to use it anyway. For Lydia and May have much in common. For you see, Lydia and May were strong women. Some might even fondly say tenacious. I've heard the word stubborn. And both were business women, providing for their families through their love of textiles. Lydia sold purple cloth to the elite in Tartaria. May was an outstanding seamstress and made garments for folks in both Kingston and Queens. Both women saw the possibilities in a piece of cloth. But that's not where the similarities end. For you see, both women also saw the possibilities of a life lived in the arms of God. Their baptisms were the foundation of their life. Lydia and May served God with tenacious passion. They took seriously spiritual practices such as evangelism, worship, and biblical studies. Well, for instance, Omar told me that his grandmother would find his grandmother reading the Bible in the morning, at noon, at night. And he recalls saying to his grandmother, "Grandma, give it a break." That would be Omar, the grandson that's now in seminary. And May's family told me that May's outstanding seamstress skills were even part of her worship preparation. Before she became ill, those of us at Gates Presbyterian Church remember May's faithful attendance in worship. And I recall how beautifully attired she was week after week after week, always wearing a fashionable hat and a matching beautiful dress. Always gracious and always proper. After talking with her family, I was surprised to learn that she made a new dress every single week for worship. And she was such a talented seamstress that she never even used a pattern. She just cut the pieces straight out of the cloth every week. Velta, too, remembers the dresses her mom lovingly sewed for her as a child, complete with matching hair ribbons. And when Velta got her new, made-by-mom dress, Velta's doll also got a matching one. In fact, May actually made the doll itself creatively, tenderly, with attention to details. With attention to details. Yes, May paid attention to details. And the detail that she paid the most attention to was her faith. It wasn't simply a sidebar of her life. For May, it was life itself. Her love of God shone through all she did. Her commitment to reading the Bible. Her love for her family and friends. Her care of the neighbors. The children in the neighborhood even called her grandma. Her dedication to worship wherever she lived, in Jamaica, in Queens, here at Gates Presbyterian, and later at St. Anne's. May's steadfast faithfulness shone through to the day she died. It was my great privilege to be present when May died. I watched as Velta held her mother's head in her arms and she caressed her cheek, singing favorite hymns, reciting Psalm 23. Velta knew exactly what her mother wanted to hear as she passed from this world to the next. Velta knew that the promises of God had comforted her mother throughout her life. As May took her final breath, the great clouds of Rochester opened up, and the most beautiful beam of sunlight came through May's window. It was a sacred moment. And it was also a Christmas moment. A moment in which we were reminded that Jesus Christ came into the world to assure us that the light of God will never be overcome by the darkness. Not even the darkness of death itself. May was with her Creator. For May, like Lydia, the biblical story, had lived her life welcoming the divine spirit of her baptism. A baptism so many years ago in a village in the hills of Jamaica. May knew that the promises of Jesus Christ were promises of eternal life. and they knew that they were for her. Let us, in our life, embrace the strength of those promises and be comforted by them, and let them walk with us through our times of darkness. For they are our promises as well. Amen. I invite Hope Drummond and Anne-Marie Sim and Omar Roshan forward to share some of their memories of May.
Good morning. I'm honored to be asked to give a reflection for May, Velta's mother. When I conferred within our circle about May, the two words that seem to describe her best are her smile. Her contagious smile and quiet disposition had a certain sense of sweetness that only she could exhibit. She has impacted all our lives in her humble way, but that warm, distinctive smile will always live on. Personally, I can't recall the exact occasion when I first met May, but I always made sure I stopped and talked with her whenever I was in her presence. She was quiet and a woman of few words, yet observant nonetheless. Our relationship flourished after one particular occasion when we were at Velters. Of course, always at Velters, for no reason at all. I glanced at May across the room and then continued with my pleasantries as I made my way over to her. But I felt a stare, looked up, and saw her looking back at me with that beaming smile that seemed so genuinely sweet, with just the right touch of shyness, and then an unexpected warmth rushed through me. Before I could get to her, May walked over and gave me the biggest, warmest hug. The most profound thing she said was, "How are the children?" I paused, tilted my head as if to say, I wasn't even aware she knew I had children. Then she said, "Audrey and Alexander." I squeezed her hand and said they were fine. Thanks for asking. That is how our relationship flourished. And as I look back, I seem to recall a quote from Mother Teresa. She says, "Let us always greet one another with a smile, for a smile is the beginning of love." I remember her at many events, but the one that resonates with me the most was Amar's high school graduation. I watched her as she waited to greet him with outstretched arms and the biggest smile that only a proud grandmother would give. So to all, someone once said, "I love those who can smile, for smiles do more than words can say." For me, May's smile took but a moment, but the memory of it will live forever. Thank you.
I met May when she went to live with Velta in 1991. She was a wonderful, warm, sweet, loving, caring, kind, and most pleasant lady I ever met. When my children were younger, she always had a gift for them at Christmas time. She was very thoughtful. Over the years, she and my mom became the best of friends. In 1999, when she moved to Park Ridge Commons, where my mom lived, she was quite excited, and so was my mother. There were many times when May cooked, she would bring something over for my mom, and vice versa. They would walk to Wegmans on West Ridge Road, and you know that's not a close distance. And they would buy a few items or go to Grease Ridge Mall, which you know also is not very close by. And there were just these two cute little old ladies who loved each other's company. In 2008, due to May's health, she had to move to St. Anne's nursing home. My mom was very sad, but knew it was the best place for her to be. Whenever we went to visit, her face would light up and a big smile would appear when she saw my mom. She would then give both of us a big hug and plant a kiss on our cheeks. When my son passed away and we had some chain tags made in his memory, we gave one to her. For the longest time, she worried, as every time we visited her, she would have the chain on. She always remembered him. She would inquire about my family, wanting to know how my husband was, how he was doing, and especially my daughter Lisa and family, as they had moved away. She loved Lisa, and I would show her pictures and of her and the children, and her face would light up. We would go through our albums together, and she would point out her family members. She was especially proud of her grandsons, Philippe and Amar, as she pointed out their pictures to us. My husband and I had her over for Thanksgiving a couple years ago, along with my mother, and we had the best time ever. One of the most memorable occasions was time spent with her at a luncheon at St. Anne's home. It was 2 weeks prior to her passing. She didn't know we were coming, so when she saw my mother, the biggest smile appeared on her face. She was so happy to see her. We ate lunch together and took pictures by the Christmas tree and fireplace. We most thoroughly enjoyed the time spent with her. We will forever cherish the wonderful memories we have of May. She was a lady of few words, but her smile, her hugs, and kisses said a lot. She loved God and reading the Bible, and we know that she is now in heaven looking down on us with a big smile on her face. Quoting a portion of Mayor Fry's poem, Enduring Life, May saying, "Do not stand at my grave and cry. I am not there. I did not cry. I did not die." May, you will forever live in our hearts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us to celebrate the life of my grandmother, or as we referred to her, Grandma. Initially, I thought I'd get up here and share some memories and reflections on my grandmother's long life. I thought I might tell you about all the visits to Grandma's house in Queens when Philippe and I were very young, jumping high on her bed to please a "don't you do that," entertaining scenes around the dinner table, or games of go seek. Not hide and go seek, just go seek. Essentially a game of tag that we would play. We would often find ourselves engaged when Grandma came to live with us, the three of us acting as if we were small children. Our dear Grandma spending countless hours chasing us around the house, often with her bedroom slippers in hand. On one occasion, she and I were goofing around so much in the living room, we knocked over a side table, breaking one of my mom's cherished pieces of art. And those were the good times. On less fun occasions, Grandma could be seen chasing us with her infamous little white leather belt, her primary disciplinary tool. I considered telling you this morning about the later years, when Grandma moved into her apartment at Park Ridge Commons. I wanted to tell you about how much I loved going to stay with her for a night or two with such excitement as if she had moved across the country and not just across town. On the surface, there was nothing exceptional about these visits. We would often just sit and watch TV together. Or rather, I would sit and watch TV as she did her scripture readings both morning and night. I have countless memories throughout my childhood of observing Grandma reading her Bible every single day. As Carol Ann mentioned, as a kid, this baffled me. How could someone read the Bible that much? Surely she must have finished it by now. It just didn't make sense. But she continued reading, often very early, making sure to leave enough time to make breakfast for us, my favorite dish being her cornmeal porridge, which never tasted any better than it did on Sunday mornings before church. But I'd rather not talk about those beautiful moments and memories. If you'll indulge me, and as difficult as it may be, I'd like to talk for a moment about the beauty of my grandmother's final days. They were certainly some truly beautiful moments. Over the years, difficulties with her hearing loss made communication with Grandma challenging. But when she was in the hospital, it was the first time that I really couldn't talk with her. And it was very hard for me. It was certainly difficult to see her with all the tubes and machines, but the hardest part was realizing that I couldn't speak to her or hear her respond. But there were two times, 2 days, 2 moments in that hospital room when I deeply felt God's presence. Through all the ups and downs, the progress and medical setbacks, there were 2 times when Grandma opened her eyes and I saw that twinkle offering glimmers of hope. On Monday of last week, I went to the hospital by myself, alone with Grandma for the first time there, and spent a couple hours by her bedside. Though she had opened her eyes and was fairly responsive over the weekend, that day she was very still. In the peaceful silence in that room, the words of the Lord's Prayer suddenly came to my lips, and I started quietly singing. This was followed by one of my favorite hymns, Spirit of the Living God. During the second song, she slowly opened her eyes, looking right at me, ever so briefly. The next evening, in this very sanctuary, it was Christmas Eve. We heard of the promise offered through Christ's arrival, that the light shines in the darkness, and that darkness shall never overcome it, as recalled in the Gospel of John. In the midst of a darkening prognosis, I realized my grandmother's eyes symbolized a beam of light. That next morning, Christmas Day, I was greeted in the hospital by Grandma's nurse, Catherine, who excitedly approached me as I entered the intensive care unit, proclaiming that there was a Christmas miracle. Though the tubes were still connected, the machines still humming, my grandmother was more alert than ever, bright-eyed and very responsive. A Christmas miracle indeed. Though she still couldn't talk, she could respond. I said, "Grandma, it's Christmas." "Merry Christmas, Grandma. I love you." And she simply nodded 3 times, responding to each of those declarations. I could even see her mouth moving silently in reply. That nod and her smile were unmistakable. A light shining in the darkness. I wasn't there in the room at the exact moment that she passed, but 7 of us gathered that day at the hospital, the day after Christmas, a cold and overcast day. My godmother Dorette told me, as she stood by my mom's side, that as my mom sang, "It is well," as a sweet lullaby to my grandmother, in her final moments, the sun began to peek brightly through the clouds. And after she passed, that sun shined brightly the rest of the afternoon, more radiant than it had all week. Truly a sight to see. Though it's hard to see God's face in the presence of such sadness, with all of Grandma's spiritual formation and discipleship, through all of her scriptural study, I have no doubt that she is in the presence of God now. My grandma's faith was a special one and an example to all of us. She hardly missed a worship service, and as Philippe mentioned, up until 2 weeks ago, she attended services at St. Anne's almost daily, offering her quiet praise and giving simple thanks for the life she had lived. I'm comforted at this time by the fact that my grandma knew how much God loved her, and she loved God right back. For no matter where we were or the nature of our visits, every time I visited Grandma, when we parted, she would always hug me and kiss me, saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you." remember this, all of us here, the promise of Christ's birth, the truly good news of the gospel, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it. Never. For me, there's absolutely nothing more beautiful than that. As we hear those words and remember them during this Christmas season, I know the light of my grandmother's life continues to shine forth, now just a bit closer to God. And every time the sun shall come out, I will feel its warmth, seeing the beauty of the earth that it illumines, and recall the love of my grandma, and remember the love of God. Thank you, Grandma, for all that you've taught me, all that you have given me, and all that you mean to me and our entire family. Thank you, for now it all makes sense. And may the Lord bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Please pray with me. Most gracious, loving, and merciful God, we give you thanks for the beauty of the earth and the wonder of creation. We thank you for the gift of family and the gift of friends, loved ones gathered here and those far away. We thank you for the life of Mae Brown, beloved mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, cousin, and friend. She lived her life forever singing your praises, giving you all glory, laud, and honor. Dear God, we thank you for the example that she led as your beloved child and as a faithful disciple of your Son, Jesus Christ, your gift to the world. Holy God, we thank you for your presence and the support and care witnessed through the work of so many individuals in May's life. We give you thanks for the staff of St. Anne's Home, the nurses and doctors at Rochester General, and the family and friends who have loved and comforted May all through the years. We thank you, dear God, especially for Velta, who has tirelessly taken care of her mom for the past 20-plus years, offering her loving comfort and steadfast care. Dear God, we ask that you be with all your children gathered here today, but also with those in places far away, especially loved ones not well enough to travel here today. Merciful God, be with those in every corner of this earth where there is suffering and despair. We ask that you be with each one of your children this day, that they may know your presence, the ultimate source of comfort and peace. We especially ask you, God, that you be with those assembled in this sanctuary, those whose hearts are saddened today as they mourn the death of your daughter, Celine. Be with them now and always. And dear God, Almighty Creator, may you continue to be with us as we leave this place and in the days to come, as we recall the promises of the Christ child, our Lord and Savior. Remind us of the faith and discipleship of Celine, and encourage us to give our love to all of your children and walk humbly with you, as was Celine's way. Dear God, may your love and peace surround us now forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
God, by your creative power you gave us life, and in your redeeming love you have given us new life in Christ. We commend Celine to your merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. Amen.